Inshallah, a brief lesson of tafsir will take place. With a request to participate, inshallah, beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم أن لن نجعل لكم موعدا ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا صدق الله العظيم صدق رسوله النبي الكريم نحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين Inshallah, continuing from this discussion that we started last week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf mentions the example of the life of this dunya. وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrate to them, explain to them, mention to them the example of the life of this dunya. And Allah ta'ala mentions that it's like kama'in, meaning the whole example, and the example starts from there. It's like water, أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ We make that water fall from the sky. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ And then it mixes with the vegetation, with the produce of the earth. So this example, many times in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a similar type of example. إنما مثل الحياة الدنيا كما إن أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض مما يأكل الناس والأنعام It's a different ayah. That indeed the example of the life of this dunya is like water which falls from the sky and it mixes with the crops and something which amazes الناس والأنعام that the humans and the animals all take benefit from it and it all amazes them. حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها أتاها أمرنا ليلا أو نهارا فجعلناها حصيدا كأن لم تغن بالأمس Until when a person says this is it, I've got it now, it's in my control, I can use it, I can utilize it, I can benefit from it, this is the time. Then all of a sudden it is taken away from them and the earth becomes hasidan, barren, كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ As if nothing ever grew on it yesterday, as if nothing existed on it yesterday. كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ This is how we explain the verses of the Qur'an, the signs for those people who ponder and reflect. That the things of this dunya, subhanallah, a person makes such effort behind them and has such amal, where the word is going to come, amala. Such barosa hopes and trusts and, you know, aspirations a person has in regards to things of this world. And Allah Ta'ala puts into the things of this world wealth and children. Going on, wealth and children. So much aspiration behind them. With my wealth, I will do this. I will build a house. I will buy a car. I will build a bigger house. I will go here. I will go. It's like the story they say about the fisherman. The fisherman who worked in the village. As a poor fisherman, he would go every day, he would fish. Get a few fish, he'd come home. Oh, well, he'd sell them in the market, get some money, come home, feed his family. And once this, you know, shahri person, a person from the city, came, a townsman, a very intelligent man, well-educated man, who had studied, you know, business and all of this. And he said, you know, have you been doing this for the last 5 years, 10 years? He said, yeah, this is what I've been doing. So should I tell you an idea? If you do this, if you save this much money, if you invest this, you can buy a boat. And with that boat, you can have nets, and you can cast the nets, and you can get more fish, and you can get more money, and then you can get a bigger house, and then you can do this. He said, what do I do after that? He said, after that, you can invest all the money that you made. Instead of a boat, you can have a ship. Right? And you can have lots of people who are employed by you, and lots of small boats that work for you, and you can have lots of extra profit. You can have an even bigger house, and then you're going to... I said, what about after that? He said, after that, you can't stay in the village anymore. You're going to have to move out. You're going to have to go to the city, because you're going to be too big. It doesn't suit you to stay in the village. Go to the city, and then you can have multiple ships. You know, he's telling him how to progress financially. He says, after, and then what do I do? He says, after that, you can retire, and you can come back home to your wife and children, and you can live out the rest of your days. He said, that's my plan already. You're making me go through such hardship to end result is exactly the same, right? But all the effort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, a person puts so much aspirations behind this wealth. I can make this out of my wealth. I can make that out of my wealth. Work so hard. And this day and age is more so. You know, there was a time where people understood hard work. You go out and you just work and you come home and that's it. Now it's time for Allah, for ibadah, for family. Now the work never leaves you alone. You have to do this course. You have to do this further degree, further education, further time. You know, I was reading an article about Gen Z. He said, well, Gen Z... Who's Gen Z? Is that from like the 1995 or something? Or 2000 or something, right? Gen Z, the younger generation. Have some, you know, the Gen Z definition, right? Gen Z, the younger generation. So the gen before them, gen whatever they called, X, I don't know, right? The elder people, they're complaining about Gen Z, saying, Gen Z, what's wrong with them? They just come to work and they just do 9 to 5 and then they go home and they forget about it. Said, but we... Our whole day was work. We'd do so many hours extra overtime and we wouldn't get paid for it. But Gen Z don't want to do that anymore. You know, they don't want to work a second without being paid. You know, it's something like this. But what they were saying was like, how many hours? Our whole life was work. And Gen Z just switch off. They want to go home and then they want to spend time with their families. So with all the faults of Gen Z, this is probably positive, right? They understand what's what. Work is for work. You come home, family time. You know, you have time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have time for ibadah. But the way the world is working now, it's not enough. Got to do a further course, you've got to give plenty of overtime, you've got to go out with the people at work, the higher-ups, the managers, the bosses, if you want to progress. Everything is connected to that. And the more money you make, the more successful you are. Just today someone was telling me at work, some more money is more problems. More money is more problems. The more money you have, more, we were talking about someone, and he was saying it's because he's got so much money. I said, it's not always more money, more problems. SubhanAllah, Sahaba Ridwanullah, Mustahsin was having this discussion last week. Sahaba Ridwanullah, some of them had so much money. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu. But what their purpose of life, and their outlook, and their vision of the dunya, and what they were trying to get to, didn't have anything to do with money. They were trying to get to Jannah. They were trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was from the richest of the Sahaba, yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got two of his daughters married to him. Why? Because he was wealthy? Because he was rich? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no concern for his money. Uthman radiallahu anhu's money is his own. But Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognized Uthman's qualities, his sifat. Money did not change him. His piety, his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A miraculous incident you read about Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. It's an incident which is documented in the books of history. Now, it's not a hadith, but it's an incident. And a person can say, how does this work? But the ulama talk about miracles, and we know from studying the books of Aqidah that karamatul awliya haqqun, miracles of the saints are true. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu would put one foot on one side of the horse, and before he could put his other foot on the side of the horse, he would complete an entire khatam of the Quran. Someone's asking, how did this work? One of the scholars was mentioning about time. They were saying, so many stories you read about awliya of Allah, pious people, how they would do so much in such little time, and you think, how? And then you have to go step out of the picture, and you have to imagine that time, waqt, is a creation of Allah. And it's not the way we make, time is about the way we make it to be. That's why near the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of the signs of the day of Qiyamah is that time will just go so fast. Right? When Dajjal comes, time is going to be extended slightly, those days. But time will go by so fast, a person is not going to be able to do anything. We have ChatGPT, we have all of the browsers and devices and everything, yet for us to do any academic work, a scholar to sit down and do academic work, you have all the libraries, you have all the manuscripts, you have all the PDFs, you have everything, still we don't have time to, you know, do any academic work. Whereas you look at the scholars of the past, they were writing hundreds of books, sitting in a little room under a candlelight with a few manuscripts in front of them. So much time. I think it was Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabri rahmatullahi alayh. They say if you look at how many books he has written, he would have had to write 80 pages every day from the time he was born till the time he died. 80 pages. That's how much he has done. One of the great scholars of India, Hakim ul-Ummah rahmatullahi alayh, written over 1,000 books. So time is something which you can stretch. So one scholar was giving the example that time is like a rubber band. It's never fully in your control, but if you can master it, then you can extend it. But as soon as you become lazy, as soon as you don't appreciate time and you don't start using time wisely, then it snaps back shut. A friend of mine, he's in Scotland, he's an imam there. He was telling me once that, you know, there was a time where I could read 1,000 salawat, durood sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It would take me a whole day, you know, in all my gaps, 1,000 durood sharif. He said, now I can do it in a few minutes. I said, a few minutes, what do you mean? He said, I don't know. A few minutes, I start my durood sharif in a few minutes, like 5 minutes, I've done 1,000. And subhanAllah, so many dreams he would have of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was traveling with him once, and we were lying down, going to sleep in the masjid. And he put down his sleeping bag, and then he took out a bottle of oil, he took out some scissors, he put them there, he took out a comb, he put them there. What are you doing? He took out surma. He said when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to sleep at night, he would have 7 items near his bed. So he doesn't go to sleep until he puts those items near his bed and goes to sleep. He's a friend of mine, mashallah, he's a youngster, but the amount of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there, very clear. We're talking about time, anyway, we're talking about this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wealth and children. So Allah ta'ala is going to go on to mention that wealth and children are two things that if a person puts aspiration behind them, you put so much hard work and effort, you don't know if you're going to reap the fruits of that, the rewards of that, the benefits of that. Whereas if you invested all your time and wealth and effort into the akhirah, that's certain, you will certainly get the reward of that. Wealth, so much effort behind it, like I explained. Children, my child is going to become this. I put in the hard work, put in the effort. Then the child doesn't become that, doesn't turn into the way I wanted them to. Then depression. I feel like I failed. I feel like, you know, it didn't work out for me. But if a person said, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, whatever I do, it works out or not. One of the our friends was mentioning about Sufi Sahib. Sufi Tahir Sahib was his teacher, and I was giving his example on Sunday. That he was saying one lesson Sufi Sahib mentioned in hadith lesson when he was teaching him Sahih al-Bukhari. He said to us that, let me tell you one thing, and he said it stuck in my mind. He said, never ever put any kind of hope in anyone other than Allah. Oh yes, this person will do this for me. Oh yes, he said, not even your own child. Oh yeah, my son can do it. Never do that. You will be disappointed. The Anbiya alayhimu salam did not ever teach us to put hope or trust in anything other than Allah. We put our hope in Allah Ta'ala, and then we push people, we encourage people, we do what we can. If it works out, then alhamdulillah. Nurun ala nur, blessing upon blessing. If it doesn't work out, then alhamdulillah, it wasn't written. And a person can quickly bounce back. But as soon as you put your hope in something, that this business idea has to work, I'm going to throw everything in there. This thing has to work, I'm going to do everything. And it doesn't work out, mentally a person gets so affected, many times you can never recover. Never recover. Even your own child, my child has to become like this. And then you put so much, aspirations on that child. If the child does not become the way you want the child to become, person falls into depression in a way they don't even realize. Just sad, you look at their face, they're depressed. Why? Because, you know, because they put so much effort, investment into that child. So this is the whole point of these ayat. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Water, it falls from the sky. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. And it mixes with the crops or the vegetation of the earth. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا. What does it mean, mixes with the vegetation? The ulama say either it means that when the water falls, in Ruhul Mani, Allama Lusi Rahimullah mentions, when the water falls, you know, when you have a lot of grass, a lot of crops, and there's heavy rainfall, you know how the crops kind of go into each other. So this is what it means, it mixes, merges into each other. Another opinion is that the water nourishes or waters the crops, and the crops become, what is it, ripe, or they sprout and they grow. So the water is, has gone into those crops. And then فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الْرِيَاحُ. And then all of a sudden هَشِيمًا, it becomes dry and they all die. تَذْرُوهُ الْرِيَاحُ. And the wind scatter them. So one second it was all green and lush and fertile, next second the wind has scattered them and there is nothing left. Allah Ta'ala is saying that's exactly world of this life of this dunya. You're putting all the effort there, it's all going to grow, it's all going to look very nice, but then in one second it all finish. One second, eyes closed, everything finished. And a person says, Hi Afsus, Ya Allah, why did I invest more into this dunya than I had to? Why? One penny more, one pound more, I could have used that for my akhirah. One second more, I could have used that for my akhirah. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over everything. الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Wealth and children are the adornment of the life of this dunya. Wealth and children. Allama Alusi rahimullah says, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring wealth first and then children? What does a person hold more dear in their heart, more precious? Children. A child is more precious than money, right? Why did Allah ta'ala say mal first and then banun? Because you don't need children for every part of your life the way you need wealth. We need wealth for everything. Without wealth, you can't even look after the children, right? A loss of a child is difficult, but not having any wealth to, you know, is much worse in the sense that you won't be able to do anything in life. And at every step of your life, you need wealth, clothes, house, food, shelter. So wealth is more of a need for human beings in comparison to children. So Allah Ta'ala is mentioning wealth first, al-malu. And then wal-banuna. Zinatul hayati dunya. They are the beauty, adornment of the life of this dunya. But look, they're going to be here anyway. They're going to be here. The Muslim has them, the non-Muslim has them. The Muslim has a few children, non-Muslim has lots of children. Muslim has wealth, non-Muslim has wealth. This is not a competition that is worth having. This is not a competition that's going to give you any fruit. The competitions in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala always talks about a'mal, competitions of a'mal. Sari'u, fastabiqu al-khayrat. Compete with one another in doing good deeds. Sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Make haste towards maghfirah from your Rabb. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And towards such a Jannah, the length of it or the size of it is like the size of the heavens and the earth. You know, compete for that. Wealth and, you know, إِنَّمَا, what is the ayah in the Quran? زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ. A human being has been adorned with these qualities, these natural desires to have nisa, women folk. And baneen, and have children. Whether you're a Muslim, non-Muslim, you know, there's a craving for this, a natural craving. وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. And to have lots and lots, hordes and hordes of gold and silver, meaning lots of wealth. وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ. And, you know, stamped horses, meaning these horses, specific nice horses which belong to you. وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ. Every human being has this desire. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, this is all zinatul hayat dunya. If you can convert the wealth and children into an asset for the akhirah, then subhanAllah, you've done good. Otherwise, this can become a wabal upon you. A wabal, a curse. And how fortunate are those people who train their children, who use every penny in a way that is, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask them, where is your money going? I don't know, I'm trying to use every penny in a way. Should I buy this one? No, but I think if I buy this one, it'll be israf. It'll be extravagance. Wasting of water. Shower, everybody has a shower at home. Our Ustad Mufti Inayatullah, in his madrasa, someone installed in the ghusl khana, in the place where you have ghusl, someone installed a shower, a student. He confiscated it. He said, no showers. Shower is a wastage of water. This is the way, you know, when you look at something, what am I doing with my money? I can afford to buy it, so I'll buy it. And when he's saying, okay, Allah Ta'ala is going to ask me about this, whether I can afford it or not. Why do I have to spend £10 here when I don't have to? I could make something at home. I could do something here. So it's a mentality. One is an israf mentality, you know. Just buy it, it's okay. Just buy this one, it's okay. Just buy this one. And one is, no, Allah is going to ask me about it. Allah is going to... Someone say stingy. But no, Allah is going to ask me about it. It doesn't matter what you label me as. You can say I'm stingy. Allah Ta'ala is the judge on the day of Qiyamah. When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to a da'wat, a sahabi invited him. The hadith mentioned in the Al-Salihin. When the sahabi invited him, and the sahabi's wife was at home, and she's so happy, and she said, come inside, but he's not home. So they were waiting, and when the sahabi returned, he was so excited that his guests, the best guests I could have, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar Al-Faruq radiallahu anhu, and some other sahaba. And what he did was, he brought a branch from the date tree, and he just put the branch in front of him, of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, are you not going to take the dates off and put them down? He said, Ya Rasulullah, no. What if I choose a date you don't like? So I'll give you the whole branch. I want you to pick the ones that you like. And then he went out and he had one goat. He slaughtered it, prepared the meat, brought it, there was some bread. Dates, bread, meat. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ate that and he said, these are the ni'mas. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will surely ask you about the blessings that He gave you. These are the blessings Allah is going to ask us about on the day of Qiyamah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ate this meal. To us, it's a simple meal. But to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was such a lavish, hearty meal. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is eating it and saying, this is something Allah is going to ask us about on the day of Qiyamah. What did you do with the energy, this food that you ate, and the energy that was created as a result of it? And how much of our food and wealth is extravagance? So a person can use the wealth for the sake of the akhirah, children for the sake of akhirah. Last week I was quoting this hadith that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, when a person passes away, then everything that they had, they leave behind, except for three things. What does the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Sadaqatun jariyatun, a sadaqah which continues. So this is where we understand where our money should go. Sadaqah jariyah. Do things which will benefit us, and don't do them for the sake of name or fame. There are so many online campaigns, right, that people are doing, building a well here, doing this, doing that. And again, we have to be very careful where we donate wealth as well. People are donating to all these charities. One charity very recently came out, people discovered that in the small print, it mentions that from the zakat funds, up to 12% can be used to cover admin expenses. From the zakat fund, which is totally impermissible. Totally impermissible. A charity, it's in the fine print. Nobody reads it. And they quoted the ayah, وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. So Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, the masarif of zakat, the people who can take zakat, one of them is عَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا, the people who give the zakat out. So since we're giving the zakat out, we can take up to 12% of the zakat pot. And all of them, mashallah, driving nice cars and buying big houses, the people's zakat money. The simple answer to that is, عَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا does not apply today anymore at all. The distributors of zakat have to be appointed by the Islamic government. You can't live in England and just say, I'm عَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. You know, it's my job to distribute people's zakat. Nobody gave you that job. That job has to be given by the Khalifa, or by the ruler, or by the leader. The job was given by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to certain people who are called the zakat collectors. They're like tax collectors. They would knock on your door and say, give it now. Otherwise you're in trouble. That's what عَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا is. This is not عَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. You've started your own charity, and then you say, I'm just going to take 12.5 of the zakat funds. By the way, I'm going to take 12.5 of the zakat funds. And it's in the fine print, so nobody reads it. So we have to be so careful. Where are we giving our zakat? Where are we giving our charity? Is it going into people's hands? So one of my teachers was telling me that, look, just give it. You know, you have one person who you know, Bakum, respected Marana, is here, India. Marana has people that he knows in India, a village in India, people that he knows where he gives, the money goes in the hand. Qurbani, when he goes into the hand of those people, Qurbani is done, the animals are sacrificed and the meat is fed. Zakat money is going to people. So give it to that one person. Okay, you give it to the village. Our respected Imam Sahib, Marana, he has a few families that are in need of facilitates the funds for. So we know that if we give the money to him, it's going to go to those people, and that's straight there. You give it to an online charity, you're just transferring funds. You don't know what they're doing with them. The mas'ala is, the ruling is, even if they were to give the whole zakat to the poor people as they should, if they keep it in their bank account, they say, yeah, we'll use it for next year or the year after or 5 years down the line, and you die in that time, your zakat has not been fulfilled. Because it's in the hand of the wakil, it's in the hand of the agent, it hasn't yet gone to the person that you need to give it to. When you give it to someone who you trust, so who you know personally, did the funds get through to the poor people? Yes, it's gone. Don't worry, here, your receipt's more. And every time you give the receipt, alhamdulillah, your qurbani is done. It's a peace of mind, alhamdulillah. It's done. So the point is, so well, sadaqatun jariyatun, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, one of the places where you use your wealth, sadaqa jariyah. Leave things which will just continue after you die. And do them anonymously. Never mention your name. Hide the name. Shaitan will put so many intentions. Oh, I'm making an online, fundraising, where you put the name, you think maybe if I put the name, then encourage people. It's all shaitanic waswasa. Don't put the name. Anonymous. Nobody needs to know. Do it for your akhirah. Anonymous. Shaitan will put so many different ways of saying, maybe you should just mention your name. Maybe you should give a nudge to other people or a hint that, oh, I did give this much. That one nudge, that one hint could destroy your whole charity if your intention is wrong. Shaitan knows that. We don't know that. So we think, I'm not telling anyone, but I'll just tell this one person. It has to come out of my system somehow. And I'll tell that one person, and that's it. And he'll encourage them, he'll be good for them. That is shaitanic waswasa, to destroy the whole, charity. Give charity here, let one person know. Give charity here, let a few people know. And then when we die, there's nothing there. Give it anonymously. Our ikhlas is so flawed, sincerity is so flawed as it is. Don't tell people. Give. So on the day of Qiyamah, there's a masjid, there's a madrasa, there's an orphanage, there's a this, there's a well here, there's so many projects. I'll be getting a reward of all of them. I kept my mouth shut, didn't tell anybody. Another person says, Ya Allah, where's all my reward? I also gave the same amount as him, but I had to tell people. I had to put a message, I had to put a picture on my WhatsApp status. That I'm here building a well, I'm here doing this, I'm here. Keep it silent and just give. Sadaqatun jariyatun. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, baytan masjidan banahu, baytan libnis sabili banahu, ilman yuntafa'u bihi, knowledge that someone else benefited from. Anything, small sunnah someone taught to somebody else, that person continued to do that, I'll benefit. And thirdly, waladun salihun yadu'u lahu, a pious child who will continue to make dua for. So this is a banun. The children can become a wabal, a curse, or they can become a pious child who goes to the qabr and makes dua. How many times have we seen, we go to the grave and subhanAllah, the sights that you see is bewildering. A lady, she's sitting at the graveyard and she's got her phone out and Sheikh Sudaisi is doing tilawat. And she's got the phone like this. And it's so sad that she is thinking that that is benefiting her father. And it's such a predicament for the father that why did he not teach his daughter any better? Why she sat there with phone playing Sheikh Sudaisi? So this is pious children. How many people die? Someone was mentioning the incident of a father. He passed away. His children are all doctors, well-qualified doctors. They came to the masjid. They said, look, we've got no time. We've got shifts. Here, dad's here. Just bury him and do what you need to do. Just give us the check. So what have you attained? Where's the pious child who will make dua for you? So all the effort should go in these things. Whatever we can achieve, we've achieved. If not, at least we can say to Allah, Ya Allah, I did my bit. Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, when he was being buried, when he was passing away in his final moments, he's saying to his people, make sure nobody stands here who's going to wail and cry. After I pass away, make sure nobody's crying, make sure nobody does any of the actions of jahiliyyah, and when you bury me in my grave, make sure you all stand around for the amount of time it takes to slaughter a camel and then distribute it, and make sure you continue to make dua for me. This time is very vital for me. It's very crucial for me. So at that time the fikr is, my family members need to know what to do next. This is what is aham, this is what is important. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. We just repeated last week's lesson. And then, inshallah, next week what we'll just do is وَيُوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ. Allah Ta'ala then mentioned the day of Qiyamah. Remember that the man, the two partners, the rich partner, first he was talking about his wealth and all of this. So Allah Ta'ala, in response to that man's bragging about him and boasting about his wealth and children, Allah Ta'ala is saying, look, wealth and children don't mean anything if you don't give them for the sake of Allah. Or if you don't, raise them for the sake of Allah, or utilize the wealth for the sake of Allah. And then remember, the man said that, I don't even believe there's a hereafter. I don't believe there will be akhirah. I don't believe there will be hashar and nashar, a resurrection and questioning. In response to that, Allah Ta'ala mentions there about some of the signs of the day of Qiyamah and what will happen. وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ. Inshallah, we'll do this part next week, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. SubhanAllah, wa bihamdihi, subhanAllah, wa bihamdihi, shahadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.